Help! It's the man!
You can feel what others feel. You can understand those feelings.
I'm beginning to wonder about that.
Isn't that a little bit morbid?
The most bizarre event of this night occurs.
Holy leaping man!
Another flash of recollection from your former life. Two old friends of yours, Man-Thing.
I'd almost come to think of you as human.
You recall the transformation.
Welcome to Man-Thing Minute. It's a show about our peculiar passions, misunderstood muck monsters, and the marsh where they meet. I'm Adam Teteris, your host, and I'm here with my co-host and producer, Sean Siddique. Hello, Sean.
Hey, y'all.
Sean, when you say, hey, y'all, who are the y'all?
Well, it's more so I'm trying to get into the aesthetic.
You're just kind of like psyching yourself up?
Well, you know, we're supposed to be in Citrusville, right? I don't actually normally say y'all.
Oh.
That's the thing.
Actually, hold on. Walk me through this. We're supposed to be in Citrusville. What are you picturing when we sit down and re-record?
So I've only been to Florida maybe twice in my life, and the last time I was like 7 years old, so yeah. It's probably very outdated. But I picture, you know, we're not in Malibu, certainly. You know, we're not. That's not in Florida. I know that.
Oh, we're not in Malibu.
I meant Miami. Okay, we're not in Miami. Cut that. We're not in Miami.
Nope, staying in. We're not in Malibu. We're not in Miami.
We're not Miami. I'm picturing like backwaters.
Kissimmee.
Yeah, I'm picturing backwaters, straw hat, chewing on some grain.
Oh,
that kind of Florida.
I think that's pretty cool, actually, that you create that scene that we're doing the podcast from inside of the swamps of Citrusville, where we know the man thing resides with a nexus
everybody knows
of all
that.
Realities. It has a portal, an opening, a front door, if you will. In Citrusville, that's where we are. I like that. I'm going to adapt that. I have not done that for myself personally. Usually when we're doing the show, I'm just in my bedroom.
Do you have a good Southern drawl?
Do I? Do I have a good Southern? I do the whistle.
I heard it coming out a little bit there. Yeah.
Do I have a good Southern drawl? I don't know. I lived in Fort Worth, Texas for a little while, and
that?
I just kind of slid into having a slight drawl. There are not as many people who have a drawl in the like Dallas area as I expected. But I worked at a restaurant, and so I felt like if I put one on a little bit, people would trust me more and tip me better, you know?
See, now I take you seriously because of that accent. Like,
no.
Otherwise...
No, you're doing it wrong.
No.
hey, we are here. It's just you and me. It's a bit of a different episode today, but we wanted to share something with our listeners. And I thought we would take an opportunity for you and I just to check in with one another, emotionally check in with one another, spiritually, and to talk a little bit about the show, talk about where we've been, where we are, and where we are headed. Any takeaways from your time being on the show? You've spent a lot of time reading Man-Thing comics. We've both met some interesting people.
You know what? I was going to say, I think out of everything so far, the best part of it has been meeting the guests. I think, you know, every time we go to do the show and you tell me, you know, who's going to be the next guest, who we've got on next time, I'm constantly astounded by the interesting people you convince to go on a podcast about Man-Thing. makes no sense to me personally, but it's been a blast getting to know them and following them on social media and, you know, seeing what they're up to.
That's bullshit. Hold on, pause. You don't use social media.
I don't.
You're not on Twitter.
I'm a creep.
You don't even retweet this show when it goes out.
Well, I'm not a huge fan.
But that's why you're on the show, because you're honest.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, be honest. Spill it. Who's your favorite guest and who sucks?
Oh, man.
Just,
you're
you know,
that
like
to me
rip
right
them.
Now?
Just rip right into them.
Oh, geez.
Don't actually answer that.
Yeah, come on now. That's not fair.
Okay, so answer maybe an easier question. Has there been any revelations about Man-Thing as a character, or these stories, anything hitting you?
I'll say this, as a longtime fan of Adam Teteris.
All right. You don't have
to. Listen, you said this was going to be a close, like, intimate, we're going to share our feelings.
No, actually, I think before we started recording, I said this is going to be sloppy and I won't edit it.
Same thing.
Everything intimate is sloppy here at Man Thing Minute.
All right, that is not the new opener. Let's just cut that. No, I was going to say, as a longtime friend of yours, the more I read Man Thing, the more I get it.
Whoa.
Not just the fact that he is an interesting character, but I get why you specifically like him.
Okay. That's cool. I hope everybody has an opportunity to have like to be earnest for just a moment. I hope everyone has an opportunity to find a thing that other people can use as a vessel to understand that person better, right?
Definitely. It's like a blueprint. It's sort of like a peel back and figure out how this person works to some degree, or what aspects of them are seen or observed via their passions.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I think has been pretty cool is bringing all kinds of talented guests onto the show from whatever worlds that they are usually spending their time in, wherever their career is focused, whatever their fields are, and figuring out, of course, whatever commonality they have with the Man Thing, right? We try to, we say we step into the nexus and try to make a connection between them and the Man Thing. And also figuring out what their Man Thing is, right?
What their thing is, man.
Yeah, that. And couldn't have said it better myself, Bart Simpson. And, you know, trying to figure out that, like, you know, well, I mean, I use the word, and I'm a little self-conscious about it, but peculiar passion, right? Like, your very specific nerdy thing that you like, whatever that vessel might be. And people surprise me. You know, people have some really interesting analogs to whatever the Man Thing is for me. So I think that's been a lot of fun. And I think that also means that you and I have been thinking a little more broadly about changing the focus somewhat of the show. So we are spending a little less time talking specifically about the character of the Man Thing and trying to create more opportunity for finding those unlikely plot points, as our former guest, Kehlani Palmisano, had put it. What do you think about that shifting of focus?
I think you are a master in segues. First of all, did you just minor in them or something, or what's good? Because that was beautiful.
Thanks.
You tied in our sloppy banter and got to the thrust of why we're talking.
Well, every thrust is sloppy here on Man Thing Minute.
All right.
No. We can scrap that one.
Yeah. No. Leave it in.
To be very specific, we're not going to stop reading Man Thing comics. I think it's a vehicle, much like the Man Thing was a vehicle in the Thunderbolts run written by Jeff Parker.
I knew you were going to say that as soon as you used the word vehicle.
We are going to use his body like a vehicle, because I think it's a lot of fun, and I'm not going back on the original purpose of the show, which is I just want Man Thing to be more popular. That's all.
He deserves that.
He does,
at the very
deserve
least.
That. He yeah. does deserve that. But I'm also a little fearful. We can't abandon him, nor would we ever. I'm a little fearful of potentially the litigious nature of Marvel and Disney. And so I think it would be good for us to just broaden our horizons
sure.
a little
when
bit.
When this podcast inevitably blows up and, you know, Sarah Jessica Parker is retweeting our episodes.
Oh, baby. Nexus in the city. Is that anything? So look, in an effort to do that, I just wanted to spend a little bit of time, and I do mean just a little bit of time, one, going over some basic mechanics of the show. If we're going to change the show a little bit, we should talk a little bit about how we're going to change it. And then two, I want to reach into our mailbag. We have some questions from listeners that you and I can spend a little time on, and then we'll get out of here. But Sean, I wanted to hit you with some show name ideas. If we're going to change things up.
Yes.
First, let's talk about the title of this podcast. First things first, Man Thing Minute. I don't mind saying it. It's
not a minute.
It's the perfect. Wait, what?
It's more than a minute. I'm just going to say it right now.
Yeah, but it's like it's like a New York minute. Like it's a minute that lasts.
Like I haven't seen you in a minute.
No, it's like a Malibu minute.
All
right. Yeah, like I haven't seen you in a minute, right? Like it's a different kind of. Get with it. It's not literal. Has that been a hang up for you?
It's not on me a little bit.
Really?
Just a little bit. I'm a literalist, I guess. I don't know. It's like I look at my watch. It's been more than a minute. We're still talking. And
every time we record and we hit 60 seconds, you think
I'm like, oh, it's going to be done now. And then we keep going.
All right. Well, what I was going to say before you shared your opinion is Man Thing Minute is a perfect title. Man Thing Minute is the title that I came up with for my actual 60 second videos. I was doing like TikTok style videos where I was just sharing Man Thing facts with people. I think I need to get back to that. I'll probably return to that.
That was fun.
But let me share a couple of ideas off the dome.
Hit me.
So we've got Man Thing, right? I don't like it's gendered. Person object.
Ooh, that's heady.
What do you think?
That's and it's going with like you're a person. What is your object?
Or like, you're a person. Do you object?
Or what's the object of this? What's the objective?
Oh, okay. So person object, I'll put a check mark next to because that.
I wouldn't do that, but all right. Okay, all continue. Right.
Here's kind of a complicated one. Swamp talk.
See, now that to me, that you if we named the podcast Swamp Talk, you would by law have to use your Southern accent the entire time. It would just have to happen. And you'd have to talk about various types of alligators. And
okay. Yeah. If you could hear me typing on the microphone, first, I'm sorry. But second, I was writing, this is a good idea, next to Swamp Talk. Okay, let me hit you with this one. Mucking around.
Ooh. Just mucking around. That sounds dirty.
Okay, how about this? Muck around and find out.
That definitely sounds great. I think we're going to get a huge new audience from that title, but I think they're going to leave disappointed.
Let me hit you with Bogcast.
Bogcast.
People aren't doing it. I feel like more people should be doing it, but people aren't doing Bogcast.
Less bog-based audio experiences out there than you would expect.
Also, podcast is a name that came from, you know, the iPod days. I just feel like it's time to change it up. We're not all on iPods anymore.
Yeah, what version of iBog do you have?
I have an iBog 9.
Wow, you need to update, man.
Yeah, it's a
little bog 10's got the
yeah,
the better Pete.
Okay. Oh, okay. I like where you're going with this. What do you think of Pete and Greet? You know, like we're hosting like a Pete and Greet.
Yeah, but neither of us are named Peter, and that's just again, I'm
no like.
Okay. I get it, but it's going to be there's a lot of misunderstandings there. Every guest from then on their first name has to be Pete.
That would be neat.
Oh, God.
Obviously, I'm spending a lot of time looking at words for swamps and just general swamp vocabulary. What do you think of this? Just this morass.
Do you want my honest opinion?
Last one in this swampy kind of style. Now and Fen.
Fen?
Yeah, Fen. Like a fen, a glade.
Oh, I didn't know that one. All right. I played a lot of Dungeons & Dragons. You would think it would
You've never heard
across...
Fen?
No.
Now and Fen. You know, it's kind of cool. It's peppy.
Well,
now
yeah, I mean, if you know what Fen means, but...
All right. Do you have any ideas?
Listen,
Do you have any suggestions?
I like show titles? I like Swamp Talk, to be honest with you.
Swamp Talk.
Yeah. I'm feeling Swamp Talk. It's kind of growing on me.
All right. Swamp Talk's pretty cool.
More ass is great.
Yeah, more ass is good. More ass cast. That's good. I'm spitting out ideas. What else did I want to talk about? Can I tell you? So you said the fact that we don't have a minute long show chaps you.
It does.
Can I tell you what gnaws at me?
It chaps in me and my morass.
Wow. The thing that bugs me is, so the Man Thing's tagline is phrased differently depending on where you read it.
Mm.
And this is a funny thing about the Man Thing, generally speaking. I think because he's just not as popular, nobody really set in stone what the tagline would be. It changes. The wording changes slightly, but
it's not like they're getting T-shirts printed.
No, actually, no, they're not. Wish they would. But sometimes you'll see a comic that will say, whatever knows fear burns at the touch of the Man-Thing. Sometimes you will see whatever knows fear burns at the Man-Thing's touch.
Very different.
Every once in a while, you'll see whoever knows fear burns at the touch of the Man-Thing. So the phrasing swaps around, which means when we do our outro, the little closing game, and we ask the audience to change the word, I always feel a little self-conscious, like there's a Man-Thing fan out there who is judging and saying that I'm getting the phrase wrong. You know what I mean?
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
There's not.
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
There is. Totally. Come on. When I was still on Facebook, I was part of a Man-Thing fan group. And I can tell you, Sean, I've put stuff in that group that's been deleted because it went against the policies of the group.
Yeah, you're just too much of a maverick.
I'm not an edgelord. I'm proselytizing the word of the Man-Thing, and I still sometimes was a little too edgy. So they have rules.
You're like a more Protestant rigid Man-Thing.
Yeah, I'm kind of the Martin Luther of the fan thing community.
Polarizing figure.
Since we're talking about fans, perfect segue to dive into a little listener question time. We have some folks who have reached out. They have questions for us about the show, about Man-Thing, about us. And I thought maybe we could just spend a little bit of time answering these questions before we outro. How's that sound?
Let's do it. I'm ready.
Okay. First question comes to us from James. And James' question is, does Man-Thing need a Lego set? And what do you think it would be? I just want a Man-Thing minifig, James says. Thank you, James. This is a great question.
James.
What do you think, Sean?
Great question. I totally misinterpreted it the first time I heard it. I thought he was asking if the character of Man-Thing could use a Lego set. I was like, oh, maybe. I don't know. He's lonely in the swamp. And which one would he want? You know, Harry Potter?
You know what? This is the way that I prefer to answer it. I think the Man-Thing would like a Lego set. And I think...
Could he put it together?
The Werewolf by Night version of the Man-Thing could make a cup of coffee and play solitaire.
That's executive presumably. Function.
That's executive function. And we have read some comics where the Man-Thing was being turned back into a human somewhat, using blocks and doing some tasks. So I'm going to say...
Not impossible.
Although the traditional sense of the Man-Thing is brainless, senseless, can't do these things, wouldn't make sense. But I'm going to say the Man-Thing does need a Lego set. And the Lego set that I am going to say the Man-Thing needs is the... Oh, I didn't have a lot of Legos when I was a kid.
Didn't they have like the really cool Millennium Falcon one?
I'm sure they did.
That's the only one. When I picture Legos, I remember a friend of mine had this like awesome Millennium Falcon set, and I was very jealous.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Mammy Man-Thing's a Star Wars fan.
Yes.
Kind of looks like a Wookiee sometimes.
Yes, James, the Man-Thing does need a Lego set, and that Lego set is this very awesome Millennium Falcon Lego set. And I happen to know there's a video game, Lego Marvel 2. And there are a ton of characters in Lego Marvel 2. And one of the characters is the Man-Thing. So there is a Lego Man-Thing out there, but only in video game form. I've flipped shit when I found this out. I bought the game and played it just to do that. Man-Thing's like a little mini boss. And he has this really wonderful run, like this awkward gait, which just makes a lot of sense for what he is. But I don't think that the toy exists in real life. Okay, next question.
All right. Listener Rob. Thank you, Rob. He chimes in with, who would you like to see get a full run writing Man-Thing? Also, if you could have any writer and artist of any time, dead or alive, what would your ideal Man-Thing team be? Great question,
Whoa.
Rob.
That yeah, great question, Rob.
Definitely a question worth for Adam to answer as the comic vet here. I don't think I would have quite the interesting response.
Yeah, but
Adam, what's
Rob,
your take?
Well, Rob's also specified any artist, any writer and artist of
oh,
any
so like Andy
ever.
Warhol. I want a Marilyn Monroe-esque version of the Man-Thing.
Yeah, I guess my answer would be
Monet.
My answer would be written by Thomas Jefferson and painted by Monet. My answer, I think I might have talked about this on a previous episode, but I would really like to see Daniel Warren Johnson. Daniel Warren Johnson is the guy I want on a Man-Thing book. He has done Extremity, Murder Falcon, Wonder Woman, Dead Earth. He's currently doing a pro wrestling one called Do a Powerbomb. I just think Daniel Warren Johnson is the coolest. So anybody Daniel Warren Johnson works with, Mike Spicer is his colorist usually. You can tell that the colorist is good if you know the name of a colorist. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like Daniel Warren Johnson and Mike Spicer, Man-Thing book. That's my dream team. Okay, I'm going to move on to the next one.
All right.
I'm going to go all the way to the bottom of this doc here. So Katie asks or states, I would like to know your origin story with Man-Thing. Like when you first laid eyes on him and it was love at first sight or a slow burn. I see what you've done there. How you knew he was for you and how you decided you needed the tattoo. This rhymes. And how I have a tattoo of the Man-Thing. How you chose what still to use for that piece. Like image, I guess, as reference for my tattoo. Katie wants to know about my Man-Thing meet cute. So we know yours, Sean, which is I forced you to learn about this.
I'm pretty sure the first time I saw what the Man-Thing looked like was on your arm.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's working. It's great.
Great advertising.
Okay, so the tattoo is based on a specific piece of artwork by a guy named John Douglas. And John Douglas, I got in touch with John Douglas. He made these funny series of Valentine's Day cards. And the Man-Thing one says, hey, Valentine, my giant-sized Man-Thing burns for your touch. So, you know, I usually shy away from dick jokes. It's not like, not my fave.
I mean, it's too low-hanging fruit. Yeah.
Low-hanging fruit. But I loved the image that John Douglas did. I think it's perfect. And it's got the Man-Thing. You know, if you've seen my tattoo, it's the bust of the Man-Thing and where his big red eyes are. Instead, there are these cute little hearts like... I just felt like it understands, even though it's a joke about the Man-Thing, it understands the Man-Thing in a way that I think is rare, which is that he has feelings or sentiment.
He's kind of sweet.
Yeah, he's kind of sweet. He's kind of a sweet boy. So I reached out to John Douglas and said, hey, is it okay for me to get your artwork tattooed on me? And John wrote back and said, I'm not going to tell you it's a good idea. I think it's a bad idea. But yeah, you have my permission. And not only did he let me do that, and that was very nice of him, but he sent me the original artwork. So I have the original, not even the scan, not the one that you can find online, which I will link to in this in the show notes, but the original artwork. So shout out to John Douglas. That was really cool. My original meet cute with the character, it was a Marvel trading card. I collected Marvel trading cards when I was a kid, and I had a binder of them, and one of my best friends had a binder of them too. And I think he just had, it wasn't even my card, it was maybe his card. He just had a Man-Thing trading card.
Did you try and rip him off with the trade?
I actually have the card. A friend of mine gave it to me a few years ago. It is the exact card where it was the first time I had ever seen the Man-Thing. Probably a card made in the 90s. Just going to take a look at this.
Boom.
Can you describe what you're seeing?
How do I describe it?
He's got a great ass.
An anime girl pose where you're like looking behind and the butt is very prominent in the shot and the butt is good.
Swamp glutes.
Maybe we should call it morass.
Hey, we should call it morass. There's a reason. Yeah, this is a card. The artist is Tom Kiffin and it shows Spider-Man and the Man-Thing. I don't think we've done a Spider-Man Man-Thing issue together, but we should because I love those books. I love this card. I'll scan it. That was the first time I ever saw the Man-Thing, and I just thought he looked weird.
Yeah, and, not your typical Marvel character in that.
Let's finish.
Yeah, you want me to do one more?
Get out of here. Go ahead.
So Jay asks, in all capitals, mind you, how upset was Man-Thing when you two uploaded their album onto our phones against our will? Thanks, Jay. The world needs to know.
Oh, yeah. How upset was the Man-Thing when you two uploaded their album onto Ibog. Well, let's just say he was speechless, right? You know, the man thing is fine with you too. And I think if the man thing had an iPhone or a phone, then he would probably be fine with having you two on the phone also. Yeah. So contrary to popular belief, I think Jay, he was cool with it.
Yeah.
It worked for him.
I feel like he has a rapport with the Edge. I don't know why. It just feels like it makes sense.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Okay, that's all of our listener questions. And shout out to all of our listeners, to James, to Rob, to Katie, and to Jay. And if you want to share a question with us, if you want to contribute, it could be a comment. It doesn't need to be a question. If you have a question about the man thing, about the show, about Sean, about myself.
About you too.
About you too, about the Edge, about Morass. you can tweet at me on Twitter, at Adam Teterus. That's A-D-A-M-T-E-T-E-R-U-S. Same name on Instagram. I got a lot of submissions through Instagram, so you can follow me on Instagram. I should probably make a show account.
Yeah. Build it and they will... I can't come up with anything. You know,
come up with like a man thing.
Yeah, yeah. Build it and they will swamp.
All right. Well, this episode ends not with a bang. So Sean and I and Man Thing Minute will be taking a brief strategic hiatus in which we will be reaching out to new guests and recording new episodes and refining and introducing some new bells and whistles. We'll be gone for a month and a half, give or take, let's say. But we'll be back. You know, even Steve Gerber's original run of The Man Thing was split into volumes. So volume one of Man Thing Minute was when I was doing this by myself. Volume two is when we introduced Sean to the mix. So we will see you with volume three of this program in February.